You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
John chapter 21, I want to read, basically, go through this entire chapter tonight, and that sounds long, but it won't be lengthy. I want to preach on this topic, answering the questions of discipleship. This is after the resurrection of Christ. He had risen from the grave, showed himself to the disciples, showed himself to lots of people. He had just, in the previous chapter, had the whole exchange with Thomas. Of course, we call him Doubting Thomas, but Thomas was one of the apostles, one of the disciples, and Jesus had that whole exchange with him of saying, you know, put your hand in my side and feel the prints in my hand and all of that. For 40 days after Jesus was resurrected, he would show himself at different times to different people. No rhyme or reason except for his own will and purposes. And he would just show up. And here's the risen Savior, standing next to these people or walking on the road to Emmaus with a couple disciples or whatever it may be. And so he was doing that, and people just kind of had to be ready for Jesus to show up whenever he wants to. I think that's a good thing for us, too. We ought to just be ready for Jesus to show up whenever he wants to. But that's what was happening. And I'm sure there was some confusion amongst the disciples as to what the future held now that Jesus has resurrected. And Jesus had not yet given the Great Commission he was about to. He had said a little bit in the previous chapter, and had breathed and the Holy Spirit came upon them, but he had not yet had said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. So I'm sure there was some confusion to what they were supposed to be doing. But John chapter 21 deals primarily with one person. There are other things throughout it. But John chapter 21, yes, it's about Jesus. But it's also about Peter. I want you to see some things that John talks about Peter, because, you know, Peter was one of John's closest companions. It was Peter and John, you know, who, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. And they spent much time together. They were Peter, James, and John. They were the inner circle. And so it seems like God allowed John here to just write some things about Peter to close out this book of the Bible. This happens to be one of my favorite chapters of the Bible. My wife always laughs when I say my favorite chapter, my favorite song, because I say like that about so many different things. And how can you have 20 favorites, right? But I do. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, is John chapter 21. And before we just get into this and read a little bit and pray and give you a couple thoughts, keep in mind that Peter had suffered many losses by this time. Say, what kind of losses? Personal losses. I don't mean he had people die. I'm talking about Peter had been through the ringer. You know, you ever sop something up with water and you just take it and you wring it out? That was Peter. Say, oh, what are you talking about? Peter was the one who told Christ, I will stand with you even if everyone else runs away. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, what's Peter doing? He's running away. Then Peter had said, I would never deny you. Even if all these other guys did, Lord, I would never deny you. And what do we find? That before the rooster's crowing, Peter has denied him and cursed him three times. Peter had been through it. Peter had been humbled. He had been, he had gone through quite a bit. Even when Jesus was resurrected, Peter didn't believe the ladies at first. So, and then you get to the first 13 chapters of the book of Acts. And the first 13 chapters or so of the book of Acts are dealing primarily with Peter. There's Paul in there, of course, but Peter. And so if we didn't have this chapter here, it would almost be like those chapters of Acts, like, well, something's missing. Because he went from being out of his apostleship almost to being like, you know, he's turned his back, he's denied Christ publicly, to now he's preaching and 3,000 are saved. Well, what's between those things? This chapter. this chapter dealing with the discipleship of Peter. He's been pretty low, and now he's got to answer some questions about discipleship so he can be restored. Let's pray and we'll read some scripture. Father, bless, I pray, these next few moments as we look at some questions regarding our discipleship, of whether or not we are following you as we ought to. And so, Lord, help us with that tonight. Speak with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Look, if you would, at John chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Now, I will just say this, and you may not agree with this interpretation of Scripture. You may have your own view of it, but I think what Simon Peter was doing was wrong. I don't think he was supposed to go a-fishing. I think Jesus had already told him, hey, you were a fisherman, and you're no longer going to be fishing for men, fishing for fish, you're going to be fishing for men. And to me, this was, Peter going back to the Sea of Galilee, kind of going back to his old way of living. He had been living by faith and Christ providing for him. And now he's saying, well, no, I'm going to go back and I'm going to do what I was always doing. I'm going to go back and I'll just fish because I got to make a living somehow. And he was kind of, in my mind, forsaking the life of faith that God, that Christ had called him to. And the worst thing is he took people with him. They'll come on with me. Here we go. Let's all go a-fishing. And so they all go a-fishing. And they caught nothing. Why? Because God had no longer called them to be catching fish. They're supposed to be catching men. We don't serve God in our own self-will. We serve God in His power. And we see here that they caught nothing. Now, they had made a living as fishermen. Peter was a great fisherman, provided for his family. James and John were known to be wealthy or well-off because their father, Zebedee, owned like a little shipping enterprise. And so they had they were good at their jobs. And yet they take in nothing after going fishing. Boy, not very good fishermen. But look, if you would, verse 4. And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Verse 5. And Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? Doesn't that just sound awesome? I love this. See, these professional fishermen go fishing, and they're getting close to shore, and a voice calls out, hey, what'd you guys catch? Can you imagine like how that ruffled some feathers? You got anything to eat? No. Wow, I like it. How do you think that made them feel? And then the voice says in verse 6, and he said to them, let me give you some advice. And that sounds great. He says this, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you'll find. What's going on there? This voice is saying, hey, did you catch anything? No. You got nothing to eat? No. Let me give you some advice. How do you like that? How do you like it when something is not going well for you and someone just interjects and says, let me tell you what you ought to do. Oh, tell me, because I've been trying to figure it out. No, sometimes that pride kicks in. See, the first step of discipleship for Peter was going to have to learn what to do with his pride. And that's the first step for all of us. What will you do with your pride? Peter's pride had cost him a lot. Peter's pride had caused him to make some bold statements. Peter's pride caused him to say, I will never forsake you. I will never do this. I will always be with you. But then the pressure was turned on, and Peter's pride was like, well, I don't want to, suffer for this or anything. And so the first thing with Peter's discipleship, before he could get to the book of Acts, before he can be dealt with and used in a mighty way, was he had to know what to do with that pride. And the Lord come to him and saying, from the seashore, let me give you some advice. Cast your net on the other side, on the right side. In other words, Peter, are you going to humble yourself? My family and I, of course, you know this. During Thanksgiving this last year, we're driving up to Napa, and we got to Kettleman City. excuse me, and our van broke down. And that's always fun, you know. So we spent the night there. We got the next morning. The van's not going. The van's making all this kind of noise and everything. And I know a little bit about mechanical work, a little bit. But I'm by no means an expert. My grandfather was a mechanic. My brother went to mechanic school for a while. My family's very handy in this area. But I don't know a lot. Like, I can change tires. I can change brakes. I can change a starter. I can change the oil. But I as far as the internal combustion stuff, like, I'm just not going to be good at that. I can't look at an engine and be like, oh, there's your problem. You know, unless there's like a sword sticking out of the intake or something. Then I'd be, oh, I think I can tell what it is. I didn't know what was going on. I open it up, and I'm looking around, you know, doing that man thing where you just stand there, you know, that's hot. Yeah, it's not good. Is it supposed to be hot? I don't know. Yeah, and so we have this group of guys. I go into, my family's eating breakfast at the hotel. And I walk in, and I go to the counter. I'm like, to the guy there, you know, it's Kettleman City. I'm like, do you know a mechanic? And there's this older guy sitting over here, like this older Italian guy. And I can't do an Italian accent. He's like, what's the problem? I'm like, the problem is you sticking your nose in my business. That's what I wanted to say. That's what I wanted to say because I was not happy. I was like, my car is broken down. So, sir, do you happen to know if it can? Well, did you check the oil? Yes, sir. I did check the oil. I kicked the tires, too, you know. I wanted to be sarcastic, but I was not. Yes, I did check the oil. The oil is full. Oh, the oil's full. So I turn back around. I'm talking to this guy. You know, what lights are on? And I was getting prickly. You ever get prickly? Where it's just like, you know, you feel like a cactus, like, don't touch me, don't talk to me. And I was feeling it for this guy. And so I was a little bit, I wasn't as jovial and nice as I normally am. I had a little bit of an edge to my voice. And so the guy said, yeah, let me get you a number. So I walk out to the car. I'm sitting in my van. I got the hood on. I'm starting it. It's making a horrible noise. I'm trying to listen where it is. And the guy comes out again, looking and walking by. Oh, sounds like it's the oil. And just kept walking. So he's standing there. So we have a lot of time. So the mechanic comes out. Finally, I go over to this guy, and I'm like, all right, what's the deal? And he goes, oh, no big deal. My family's just owned mechanic shops for several generations. Oh, I was very happy that I did not let some of those thoughts, you ever get those thoughts and you're like, you're glad that they didn't come out your mouth? You're like, stop, right there. You know, and I'm very glad that I didn't. Now, this guy did not give me any advice, but I'm just glad that I didn't act like an idiot. Like, I know more than you. No, the guy's been in the mechanic business for generations. You know, sometimes the Lord just allows some things to humble you a little bit. Now get what's happening here, and take your Bible, if you would, and go back to Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter 5, for just a moment, please. Luke chapter 5. So Jesus says, do you guys catch anything? No. Cast your net on the right side and try that. And when they did, they pulled up a great multitude of fishes. But here's the thing. They did it. They did cast their net on the right side. They didn't say, we know more than you. They did it. But what do you think the Lord was trying to get across here? Because look at Luke chapter 5, verse 1. Came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, very washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, Peter's ship, and prayed him, or asked him, that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, for a catch. Simon, answering, said to him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. When they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and the net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were on the other side of the ship, and they would come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. for he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes that they had taken. And it was so with James and John, the sons of Zebedee. So at the beginning of Simon Peter's call, at the very beginning, Jesus used this as a means to call him into service, and now he's using it as a means to call Simon Peter back into service. And both times, what was it doing? It was humbling. It was humbling. If we're going to be a disciple of Christ, we're going to have to put aside our pride. We're going to have to be willing to do what he says to do and go where he says to go. Your way of doing things is one way of doing things, or you can embrace the life of faith. And for Simon Peter, he had to deal with this issue of pride, and you and I are going to have to deal with it too. I want you to see, secondly, it'll go back to John chapter number 21, if you would, and we'll stay there for a while, John 21. Not only when it comes to the question of discipleship, what are you going to do with your pride? But the second question about discipleship is this: how badly do you desire Christ's presence? How badly do you desire Christ's presence? Pride is going to keep you away from God. That's what pride does. It says, I don't need God because I've got me. Why would I need God if I've got me? So you're not going to have that closeness. But the second question and the second thing dealt with here is, how badly do you desire Christ's presence? Look at verse 7. Now, verse 6 says, they cast the net, and they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Remember, they didn't know it was the Lord on the shore right now. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. Now, that doesn't mean he was, like, completely naked. It just means his outer clothing was off. And in verse number 7, and did cast himself into the sea. He wasn't pulling a Jonah, wasn't trying to kill himself. He was desperately trying to get to Christ. Verse 8, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and Jesus laid thereon and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring up the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land. What's happening here? So Peter was always the extremist among the disciples. He was the brash disciple. He was the bold disciple. He was the only disciple to walk on water. That was Peter. And he doesn't even try to walk on water here. He dives in 200, what's it say, 200, how far away? It says here, 200 cubits away. And he dives into the water because he's not even going to wait for the little boat to get there, because he's desperate to get to the presence of God. My wife and I were engaged, I think it was December 10th, 2005. Does that sound right? December 10th, 2005, we were engaged. And we had to wait like 180 days to get married or something like that. It was a 7-month engagement. It felt like 7 years. I felt like Jacob, just working, you know, for years at a time for my bride. But I will tell you, she was working at that time, and I was working at that time. And then on the weekends, I would travel up and intern. I interned at her dad's church in Napa, and really, just for all of those days, it felt so lengthy. It felt so long. Why? Because we desired to be in the presence of each other. We desired that. No matter where I was, my mind was on her all the time. And my mind still is. But that's how I felt. I was just always, I'd rather be with my future bride right now than working this security job. You know what I mean? Like there was a great desire to be in her presence. I think, you know, when I first got saved, when I first got into church again after being saved, and I just desired the presence of the Lord so much. What happens over time? Do you still desire God's presence in your life as much as you did? Teenagers, you went to teen camp, you've been to youth conference. Do you still desire the presence of God like you did? God hasn't changed. Do you desire that presence? Now, I love this verse 11. The net was so full that they couldn't even haul it in. And Jesus says, hey, bring the net. And Peter runs out and drags in the net by himself. He's just so fervent. Just whatever God says, I'm going to do that. And runs out and gets the net. Can I ask you tonight, how badly do you desire God's presence in your life? I can't give you a passion for God. I can't make you love Jesus more. I can't make you love your Bible more. I can't make you pray more or witness more. You have to have the passion yourself. You got to stir up the gift of God. You've got to decide, I want Jesus more than anything. No one can give you that except you. Except you. And if you lack passion for God, don't blame the church. Look in the mirror. If there is a lack of a passion for the presence of God in your life, it is not anything external that is the problem. It is us. It is internal. It is sin that is the problem. It is the decay of just living in society. It is the daily just going through the motions again and again and again. And we're losing the discipleship of just wanting to be with Christ, because that's what discipleship is. I just want to be with Christ. Look, is the presence of God in your life, would it be nice or is it a necessity? Oh, it'd be nice to have God's presence today. Is that what it is for you? Or is it a necessity? I've got to have God's presence today. Is it nice or a necessity? And Peter, I think, was saying, look, I'm all in this thing. I'm diving in because I want to be in Jesus' presence. I can't wait another second for this boat to get there. I want you to see the third thing here. Here's another question you have to answer about your discipleship. It's very simple. The question is, will Jesus get first place? Look at verse number 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon, Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He, Jesus, saith unto him, Peter, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Peter is sitting with Jesus now with the disciples. Peter was with the disciples when he made those bold proclamations. Now he's saying, I'll never forsake God. I'll never. And now he's sitting with those same disciples after he had completely forsaken Christ. See, Peter had publicly denied Jesus three times. And now Jesus publicly asks Peter about his love and commitment three times. Coincidence? I think not. Peter needed to be humbled. And Peter needed to have the matter settled in his heart of who gets first place. See, Jesus said, lovest thou me more than these? More than these what? What my belief of this is, he's saying, Peter, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? Because that's what you said. That's what you intimated. Say how? Remember, I'll just read the verse in Matthew 26:33. Peter answered and said to him, he's with the disciples, though all men shall be offended of thee, yet will I never be offended. Hey, though these other disciples, though James and John and Thomas and all, though they be offended at thee, Lord, walk away from you, Lord, I will never, never walk away from you. So, Simon, do you love me more than these disciples love me? And Peter's response is humble. Lord, you know I love you, and I believe what he's saying is, but I'm not better than these guys. I think he's getting it. And I think the Lord is rebuking him in a loving way here and drawing Peter back in. And saying, yes, you love me. Now do your job. Stop talking and do your job. It's a humbling thing. The issue here that Jesus is dealing with is, Simon, do you love me? Do I get first place in your life? How can you be a disciple of Christ without loving Christ? It doesn't work. Peter, are you going to do what I tell you to do? Peter, are you going to obey? I've told you the story before. When I surrendered my life to Christ, I told him, Lord, I'll do whatever you do. Tell me to do. I'll go wherever you tell me to go. And kind of tongue-in-cheek, half-jokingly, I said, Lord, just don't send me to L.A. I was okay with Patagonia, and I was okay with Thailand, and I was okay with, South Africa, but I was like, but Lord, just not L.A. And I was kind of like, in my mind, like, not really wanting L.A., but praying. And so God sent me to L.B., that's what I tell people. He didn't send me to L.A., he sent me to L.B. But what I often think is, when God was calling me down here, it was almost in my mind, that thought very quickly came to my mind of what I had said to the Lord years earlier. And it was almost like, well, are you going to stick by that? Or are you going to actually do what you said you would do and follow me anywhere I say to go? I mean, why in the world would I pick L.A. and say, no, Lord? Why? And then a couple years later, he says, I want you to go to L.A. County. It was a test of discipleship. Will you go? Will you go? He said, well, why did you not like L.A.? I came out here one time with my dad when I was 15, before I even got into church, and we went to Hollywood, and I saw things. Coming from the Midwest, I was like, what is that? And my dad was like, I don't know what that is. Let's go away quickly. It was a person, we're like, what is that? And we saw some things. We experienced the traffic and all that. And so for me, I was like, never. And now I've lived here longer than I've lived anywhere in my entire life. Peter was going to receive a vision from God about the Gentiles. And Peter didn't want to witness to the Gentiles. But he was going to have to if he did what God told him to do. See, God was preparing him. Are you going to be a disciple or not? What place does Jesus get in your life? Well, you see, Jesus is before sports, but after work. He's before, this entertainment, but he's after. Jesus is first. If you're a disciple tonight of Jesus Christ, then Jesus is first. He's first. Every disciple must know that. The last thing tonight, as we close and go home on Easter Sunday, look at this last section. This section has helped me through my life more than any other section of the Bible, probably. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. The disciple whom Jesus loved, we're talking about John, okay, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? So that was John. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went abroad this saying, and it goes on, they thought that Jesus was saying, oh, that he's never going to die. And no, that's not true. Verse 24, this is the disciple which testifieth these things. The question is simple. Will you persevere? Will you persevere? Jesus, in the previous verses, we didn't read it, when he said, Peter, do you love me? He basically tells Peter how Peter's going to die, and he's going to be crucified upside down. In verse 18 there, in verse 19. And then he said, Peter, follow me. Let me be first place. But the next thing he's saying is, look, it doesn't matter what John or anybody else does. Are you just going to follow? Will you keep going even when you're discouraged? This morning we had three people. I don't know who knocked on or went to Market Avenue here. Market Street, Market Avenue, whatever it is. Market. I just always call it Market. That street there. I don't know who knocked on it or put flyers there, but we had three visitors this morning from that street. They got our flyer on the door, and they said, well, I just felt like we got the flyer. The Lord was telling us to come to church. They told me that on their way out. God did that. That's wonderful. God used you, whoever it was. God used those of us who went out and putting tracks on doors and other during the rain the last two Saturdays. God used that, absolutely. But are you going to go? You going to keep going when no one comes? You going to keep going when you get discouraged? That's the question of a disciple. Are you going to persevere? Will you get distracted and quit? Will you decide to go fishing again, Peter, instead of fishing for men? Will you watch other people and see if they quit? And this is the thing that happens so often. So many Christians quit on God because a spiritual leader quit on God. And I think, you know, why they do that is because they were plugged into the spiritual leader and not plugged into God. And so Peter said, well, what's John going to do? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee, Peter? What does it matter what he does? You still have to serve. You have to persevere. You have to keep going. That's what you got to do. A big question of discipleship, of serving God with your life, is will you just keep going? William Carey, famous missionary. I love this quote. To India. Read his story sometime and see how he translated Bibles into the Bengal language and dictionaries and all these things and lost it all in a fire after years of work. Lost his wife who died in India. All these things happened to him, yet he came back and translated the Bible into Sanskrit and all these other languages. And someone asked him at the end of his life, how did you accomplish all this? And he said, I can plod. I can persevere in any definite pursuit. To this I owe everything. And he's basically saying that passage. And what he was saying is, I don't deserve any credit. All I did was keep going. That's what he said. That's all he did. Can you plod? Can you keep going? Let me ask you a question. When prayer isn't working and answers aren't coming, do you still pray? I prayed for this person to get saved, but they're not saved. I prayed for this thing to be healed, and it never got healed. I prayed for this job, and I never got it. I prayed for that. Are you still going to keep praying, though? I've prayed for many things in my life that I never got. Many things. I've tried to pray clean. I've tried to pray persistently. I've tried to pray fervently, and I've asked God for things, and then the deadline came, and I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I got nothing that I asked for. What do? Do you quit praying? No, you say, okay, God must know better than me. And then you move on to the next item on your prayer list. And you keep praying. When the answers aren't coming and the prayer isn't working, will you keep praying? When people aren't getting saved, will you keep witnessing? Maybe you've been knocking on doors for a long time and you've yet to see someone saved. And you've been asking friends and coworkers to come to church and there's yet to get any fruit there. Are you going to keep plotting? You're going to keep going? You're going to give in. When people aren't getting saved, will you keep witnessing? Hey, when church feels like a chore, will you keep going? I don't know anybody in life that has said, every single church service has been just pure ecstasy. No, sometimes it's, is it Sunday already? Is it Wednesday? What series are we in? Haven't we been in Ecclesiastes, the Ten Commandments? Haven't we been in there for like 20 weeks or something? Everybody has those feelings. But when church feels like a chore, do you keep going? That's what a disciple does. When you feel confused about what the Word of God teaches, do you keep reading the Bible? That's what a disciple does. When Christian music doesn't please your flesh, do you still listen to Christian music? That's what a disciple does. You keep plotting. You keep going. You don't quit. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Are you just going to keep going and keep plotting and keep walking on for Jesus? Sometimes the hardest thing in life to do is to keep doing something you've been doing for a long time. Just to keep doing it. And I want to encourage you today. Hey, Peter had some great miracles ahead of him of what God was going to do. But he had to go through the tests of discipleship to get back to where he was supposed to be, because he opened his mouth about all this stuff. And then he had a great rise and a terrible fall. And now the Lord had to deal with his pride. The Lord had to deal with, are you going to desire my presence as a disciple? Is Jesus going to get first place? And are you going to persevere? I wonder tonight, have you answered these discipleship questions in your own heart?